You've been listening to With Good Reason on the stations of Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM Tillamook, Oregon. We're streaming at coastradio.org, and we're on your mobile using the TuneIn app. It is just seconds before 9:30, and it's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with my ever-fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning. I got my apron on.
You have an extra specially fabulous apron.
I sure do. It's my Food Talk apron.
I know. I'm so jealous.
Cooking on the coast.
And also, it's alarmingly clean.
Yes, yes, I know.
It's like a maiden voyage.
I know. I'm totally afraid to get it dirty. I don't know what to do to keep it perfect.
Don't ever actually cook in it.
It even has like a special place in the house so it doesn't mingle with the other used aprons.
The tainted aprons.
Yes. Oh, so somebody turned my microphone around again this morning. Who do you think it is?
Well, I don't know. Someone obviously knows we're coming.
They know that I'm trying not to drink coffee. It's a miracle that I noticed.
You know, before we start talking cooking, I got to tell you that I ran into somebody the other day who said, I am amused and amazed by how many gentlemen who don't cook listen to this show. And so this was another one who said how much he enjoys the show, and also that the last one he heard you were had given up caffeine, and it was a little worrisome.
I don't even understand it, because it's so hard. Why is it so hard? Both my brain and my body are like revolting against me. And if my brain and my body are so against it, what made the conscious decision to even try to give up caffeine? Because they're both like working full time.
Well, there's some little tiny part of you that made a very bad decision, and they're trying to correct.
Here's proof. Any of the seven of you out there, bring me coffee and I'll give you $20.
Oh.
Just kidding. I don't think I'm supposed to say that.
And right. You can't actually say the amount.
Yes.
Well, the other
public
thing,
radio rule.
The other amazing thing that this fan, which I think might be a new fan, asked was how
Eight.
Long you and I work on what we're going to talk about.
Oh, I know. I think
how long do we rehearse before? Like, you and I have been sitting in this air room for 15 minutes before we turn on the mic, and not once did we talk about anything that's going to transpire.
There's not a lot of rehearsal.
Like, none. Anyway, and you would think that would be quite obvious.
We should do one that's really rehearsed one day. That would be really funny. Oh Mary Ann, how did your roast turn out?
Yeah, let's try that.
It'd be fun.
What have you been cooking? I know some of the things you've been cooking. You made a whole lot of bread.
Yes, for a party that we went to.
Yeah.
And that's always fun in July, you know, to crank the oven up to 500.
Isn't
both
it?
Of them. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's Franz from now on. No, just bring grocery bread.
Crackers.
Yeah. Do you remember a while ago, not that long ago, I cooked that giant rib roast because those three teenage boys and their families were coming to my house?
Yes.
Well, apparently they liked it. And so they called and they invited themselves over. And I really do not mind when people invite themselves over. But their oldest boy, one of the teenagers, the one who actually put away 3.5 pounds pieces of prime rib.
Oh, my gosh.
And went home. And I learned that when they came this time, that he weighed himself because he knew he was coming beforehand. And he got home and he'd gained 7 pounds. That's really something. That's I don't know. I feel like I met a goal or something.
Yeah,
but
that's better than a food review.
I know. But he's going into the Army Reserves, I think, and then he's going to boot camp actually today. And so he wanted to come for dinner. And so I'm off of caffeine. and they just, you know, called me a couple days before, which is fine. And I am really fine with that. But I ran to the emergency meat market and I you know, came flying in there like, I don't know, well, on my broom, because that's what I have when I'm not drinking coffee. And I get back to the meat counter and I'm like, I need a standing rib roast. And they're all kind of shell-shocked, you know, because maybe I didn't say please. Because that's what caffeine does to you. It makes you say please. So I'm back there and I'm like, I need a standing rib roast. And they're all just looking at me and their eyes are a little wider than normal. And I'm like, wide as my oven, get on it, you know. Oh, but same as last time, it was just carnage. It was a wonder to witness, just the chewing, man, just the chewing. It was really, really something.
Three teenage boys.
Yep. This time there was just two. One of them couldn't come, but still the carnage. And then the dad showed up on crutches, and I'm like, what are you looking for, pity beef?
So you had more than one day of hot oven all day long.
Yeah. You know, but that standing rib roast wasn't so bad because you heat your oven up to 375, put it in there for an hour, and then turn it off for 3 hours, and then turn it on for half an hour. So it wasn't so bad as the bread. The bread was just, I wanted to burst into flames.
Well, the bread was fabulous.
Thank you, darling.
Oh, yeah. I got to say, though, I made salads.
And salads.
I need to just say to you, summer, salads.
Yeah.
Really?
No bread, no big things to me. But can you imagine that poor boy going off to the army if I'd made him salad?
Oh, no, I know. You had a special request.
Yeah, because my CSA is at a farm, and I ordered stuff, but they didn't have the broccoli and they didn't have the carrots. I'm like, oh, my gosh, because that is for dinner tomorrow night. I am in a bread schedule now. I'm baking bread till 8 o'clock tonight. I don't want to go shopping late tonight, and they're coming early in the morning. And so she says, the farmer, she's like, well, let's see, what else do I have, beets? And I'm like, three teenage boys. How am I going to give them beets? They'll shoot me. They're going into the army.
What did you do?
I just made some macaroni salad and called it a vegetable. That's what I did. It worked. They didn't notice. They were chewing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I got to say, last time we did Food Talk, I started the program by talking about the seeded watermelon that you brought me as a gift, a gigantic watermelon. And it was so good.
It was. And
it's not my imagination.
No. And it wasn't like a super exceptional seeded watermelon. It was just a regular one. It wasn't like the best one ever, but they are really good. And you know what I noticed that I hadn't even noticed or thought of before? They're easier to cut. They're much tenderer, aren't they?
Yeah. I think that the texture is one of my biggest beefs about the seedless watermelon, is that they're rubbery.
Yeah. They're way more fibrous.
Yeah. I think that they're crossed with Nerf product. That's my theory, is that there's,
that's so perfect, that describes it exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so thank you again. Also, I'm saying to all of you out there, if you and I bet you there are people out there who have never had a watermelon with seeds.
I bet you're right. And I saw them in the store yesterday. I was in the store yesterday and they were there. Yeah. So that's exciting.
Just try it. Yeah. You'll be so happy. Even if you never, ever had one and have nothing to compare it to, it will be
it's
a treat.
It's just good.
Yeah. It's just plain good. Well, you know, we are getting our CSAs now, and with burgeoning amounts of fabulous produce, because all this sun is making wonderful things happen. I think we're only about 2 weeks out from tomatoes around here.
Yeah. You know what I think I'm appreciating more than I have before this year is lettuce. Just the both the head lettuce and the leaf lettuce. It's just really good. And I think it's just that I've got a couple salad dressings that I'm making that I like a lot. Do you know what I mean?
How yes.
That makes a difference. And one of them is ranch. And I know that sounds like I should have less teeth than I do and maybe be wearing some overalls, but this apron has suspenders and I just think it's good. Just buttermilk and yogurt and olive oil is the base. Just, you know, whisk them together and then just put a little bit of garlic, some salt and pepper, and then just whatever fresh herbs you have growing. I mean, I'll just, as long as you don't put too much thyme or too much fresh oregano in there, you're good to go. You can just do anything you want. Basil ranch is so good. You know, chives are so good. Yeah.
And bacon buttermilk ranch is really good.
Oh, see, that's your specialty.
That's a really good one too. So I do like buttermilk dressing. And actually, I just had a recipe for a buttermilk vinaigrette that was really good. Oh, I need to put that on.
How could it be a vinaigrette?
Well, I mean, it's just thin for one thing. It's not creamy, like thick,
gloppy.
Creamy.
Yeah.
Which I like because it coats so well. But Yeah, I think also the fact that in CSAs, which I suspect that you know out there, and at the risk of insulting you, I will remind you that CSA stands for Consumer Supported Agriculture, where you get a box once a week of fabulous whatever's growing from your local farmer. And so when and you and I are both I think have different farms, mm-hmm. maybe, but everything is so beautiful. And at the Food Web right now, we act as a drop site for the farmers to come on Thursdays and drop off their shares, and people come and pick them up. So I get to see what all more than one farm is doing, and everything is gorgeous. Yeah. But when you have a household of one or two people and you get a head or two of lettuce, mm-hmm. it's a lot.
Daunting.
And it made me remember wilted lettuce.
That's so good.
It is so good.
And my grandma called it a man salad.
Real?
Oh, yeah, that's what she did. It was the only salad that the men would eat in the house.
Yeah, man salad.
That's what she called it. I'm going to make a man salad.
And that's a hot vinaigrette.
Yes.
And it's so delicious. And I mean, that vinaigrette works really well on spinach salad when it's not so hot and you're not trying to mm-hmm. wilt everything. But there's something about pouring that hot bacon grease, cider vinegar, fabulousness over leaf lettuce mm-hmm. and stirring it around till it wilts down. It's just so good.
So the way my grandma did it is she would cook up a couple, three slices of bacon, and then the fat would be in the pan. And then she would add a little bit of vinegar, a couple, three tablespoons, maybe a quarter cup. And then some sugar, about half of what you did the vinegar, and then whisk that together. And then the thing she did that was maybe a little different is she always added hard-boiled eggs to the salad. So she would take the yolks and she would whisk the hard-boiled yolks and she would whisk that into the dressing. And then the whites she would cut up and put that in the regular part of the salad. So then once that's all hot and bubbly and you got the egg yolk whisked in, which you don't have to do. That was something my grandma did. Oh, and I am so sorry. She would also fry an onion or half an onion in the bacon grease before she started adding vinegar. Yeah. And then you just dump in so many greens because they wilt down to nothing. And then she would put the egg whites, and then a lot of times she would have croutons or tomatoes that she would add afterwards, but that's what she would do. What do you do?
Well, essentially the same thing, but I never tried the egg yolks, which would emulsify the dressing and make it really like more viscous.
Just a little, but it's really tasty.
Yeah, and I love chopped eggs on anything mm-hmm. like that, on blanched asparagus, on spinach salad, on everything.
Yeah.
So that's such a good idea that I'm definitely going to do it. But in terms of what I remember doing, you know, with my grandmother was exactly the same thing with, we just never had the eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I don't know. Well, she had chicken coops. I mean, I think she had like 10,000 chickens. So that might be why.
That's probably why.
Yeah.
Looking for lots of ways to use eggs, but I think that's brilliant. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
And I also, remembering wilted lettuce makes me less stressed about wasting beautiful lettuce.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
really, it's a lot of lettuce.
Yeah, it always makes me sad when I waste something because of, you know, the effort that went in to produce it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. I had angst about that at the event that you and I were at.
Oh my gosh, everybody made, okay, so maybe 150 people came. And so everybody made something that would feed 150 people. So we had food for 9,000 people.
Yeah, and the thing is that, I mean, I took a truckload of to-go containers, and people took things to go. But at the end, there's still a lot of food on the table. And frankly, you cannot take food that's been outdoors mm-hmm. in a picnic, even under a tent, all day long on a buffet line and do much of anything with it.
Yeah.
So, you know. Massive amounts of compost.
Hey, so right next to my bread was is it chili honey butter?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I didn't try it. The reason was when I went through the line, it had a big old piece of plastic over it and there was nothing to scoop it out with. And I'm just like, you know, I didn't want to hold up the line. So, but I got so many compliments on it because it was right next to the bread. Everybody assumed that I made it. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
Because spreads. I made three spreads because I knew you were bringing bread. And I, as far as I'm concerned, that's good enough for me. Just a whole bunch of, I'll just have an entire loaf of your bread and a bunch of spreads. That would be good. Oh,
but what did you, I didn't try it and I feel real bad I didn't try it.
It's just, it's actually a fabulous product. You could make it, but I buy these fabulous jars of chili honey.
Okay. I think I've seen that.
Is just a really lovely, dark, rich honey with chili flakes in it.
It's hot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not real hot. Okay. It's just perfect. I mean, it's great on toast. It makes killer peanut butter and honey.
Okay.
It's good on everything. And so instead of just making plain honey butter, I made chili honey butter. And you could do it. You could put the red chili flakes in honey, but you need to let it sit for a while so that they,
okay,
you know, it's not
fester.
Like, yeah, exactly. They have to get really angry and then you eat them. Anyway, so chili honey butter. And then we had romesco, and then we had a white bean dip with chopped olives, and all of those things, I can tell you, having your bread is the perfect vehicle for.
Yeah, I really liked the bean one. The other one was covered up just like the chili. And I just was stupid. I feel really bad for not taking them.
You should have just uncovered them. Oh my gosh. It's a good thing we're not like, you know, yes, we're not like Howard Stern where he's on TV while he's on the radio, because they would have seen that. But it was Linda nonverbally pointing to the clock so that I remember to remind you that you're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB in Tillamook, and at coastradio.org. And also that Food Talk is a co-production of North Coast Food Web and Coast Community Radio. And speaking of North Coast Food Web, you know, Linda, today is the first day of another week of Young Chef's Camp.
Aww.
In the kitchen at North Coast Food Web. And I think this might be our third or fourth week of camp this year. So
I got to tell you, every kid that I meet that has done it loved it. And it's made such an impression on them.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And Wendy, our fabulous kitchen coordinator, who also is the lead instructor for Kids Camp, got a great fan letter from a parent of a couple of kids who did the camp last time, which was a baking camp. This is an around-the-world camp, and I think they're starting today in, I want to say they're starting in Greece. I can't remember.
Okay.
Anyway. That she said that her girls had made Monte Cristo sandwiches four or five times already.
Since last Friday.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's great.
No, it is. It's totally great. That's the right, you know, that 10 to 14 age, which is what we're doing the camps for this time, is just right to be inspired, to learn to love it.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to learn to have to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, or to not bother to learn it at all, mm-hmm. which is such a horrible thing to deprive yourself of.
And I think when you get them young and you teach them a wide variety of things to make, they don't get in such a rut.
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved out here, out into rural Astoria, one day I was making lunch for Dale and some of his friends, and instead of making a croque monsieur, which is essentially a Monte Cristo, it's just like a ham and cheese, grilled cheese sandwich, essentially, I made a croque madame, which you put a fried egg on top.
That's right.
And a couple days later, I heard in town, well, I hear you're trying to kill Ed again, because it was so different, you know?
It's exotic. Yes, that fried egg,
yes,
made all
I know,
the difference.
I know. Poor Ed.
Oh, I bet he's still coming for lunch. Well, I think lunch might be my favorite meal.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Hey, you know what I've been doing lately, which makes it sound like it's not my favorite meal? And I can't remember if I talked about this before, but this is something I do in the summer, is I just have little sandwiches that I do on little slider buns or little potato dinner roll type things. And I make them up ahead of time and I wrap them in plastic and I put them in the deli drawer in the kitchen. So if Dale has friends over in the shop, if I just don't feel like doing anything anything. We can just grab a couple of sandwiches. And so just whatever I have a little extra of that week, if I have some roast beef, if I have some ham, some curry chicken salad, you know, if there's chicken, I'll make tuna, anything that's left, I just put it in these little sandwiches. And the key to little sandwiches is you need a moisture barrier. So the first thing you have to do is butter the bread, because it keeps the bread from getting soggy. And then you can put mayonnaise on it if you want to. Cheese is a good barrier, but you have to butter the bread first. You have to butter the bread no matter what for them to survive the refrigerator.
Well, and the good news is that butter makes a sandwich better, and I don't care what kind of sandwich it is. It could be anything. Yeah. A little bit of butter makes it better. Butter makes it better.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a slogan at some point. Yes. Before everybody got like so paranoid about butter.
Yeah, but they're just so good to grab. And when the teenage boys came over, I didn't want to be cooking all day. You know, I'd put the roast in the oven and that'd be fine. But I wanted to visit too, so I just made like 2 dozen little sandwiches, maybe 6 or 7 different kinds, and they're really good. And the kids, they had like 5, which is insane for what they did later that night to that poor roast, but they really liked them.
Yeah, and you know, that's refreshing too, to pull it out of the fridge on a hot day. Mm-hmm. And not have
to do anything.
Yeah.
And so lunch is nice, but at our house it's more like a way to get rid of leftovers and hopefully not have to do anything, but maybe microwave something. I'm sorry, I guess it's not my favorite. It's my laziest meal, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's not the meal that we even eat at home.
Yeah.
At home, I do breakfast for Tom, and then I usually have a cup of coffee while he's having breakfast, and we talk about whatever. And then we don't do lunch, and the next thing we do together is dinner.
Okay.
So maybe that's why it's my favorite meal, because I don't have to cook anything. No,
yeah.
That's not true.
Well, and then do you think of it as more of a social thing?
Yes.
Like, yeah, then that makes sense.
If I eat lunch, I'm usually out with somebody.
Yeah, and then that's fun. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I also have been really enjoying the fact that we have food carts in Astoria, and we have food carts everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great place to have a picnic without actually packing a picnic.
Yes.
Hey, do you have a favorite picnic foods? And the reason that I'm thinking about this is because somebody was saying the other day at this giant picnic,
mm-hmm,
that we were at, that something about poisoning people with potato salad, and I just flippantly said, don't worry about the mayonnaise. If you use commercial mayonnaise, it's like a petroleum product and there's no eggs in there.
So I remember some kind of like Ask Heloise type column in the paper, and they said that somebody said they had a relative that stored their mayonnaise in the cupboard. Now that's just inconceivable to me, right? Opened,
wow.
Right? And so then she contacted the mayonnaise company, and they said, you know, it's not something that we recommend, but it would probably be okay for like a month. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And so, I'm careful with it. But I remember reading, I read on food safety because I'm a nerd, but that the problem with potato salad is not the mayonnaise, it's the potatoes, because they're in the dirt and they have germs.
And potatoes and beans, dried beans, are two things, you know, in the restaurant industry, we know you got to keep them at the right temp.
Yeah.
They are one of the easiest things to have, you know,
gross stuff.
Yeah.
Also iced tea and also rice.
Iced tea, I did not know.
Yeah, it just, you can't like leave it out overnight and expect it not to grow something. It grows stuff.
Okay. Wow. It's those little tea leaves.
Probably.
You know, if you use bags, you never even get to see what's in there.
Yeah. What's your favorite picnic food? Do you have one?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of a moving target. But I think that this time of year, I would be so happy with homemade bread and even just butter,
mm-hmm,
and a whole bunch of fruit. A mm-hmm really good melon, and the berries right now
are so good.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
The berries are so good.
I know that the fruit stand people are saying that they're going to be here through the 20th of July. That's pretty soon. But yeah, it's been so nice having all those berries coming in from the valley. So my go-to dessert is vanilla ice cream with berries and a little bit of honey. And my favorite ice cream topping is honey. I think it's so good. Somebody, one of the premium ice cream companies used to make a honey ice cream. It was like a limited thing.
Yes.
It was for like, you know, supporting the bees and everything. And it was so good, but then they didn't do it anymore. And I just think honey has such a delicious flavor and with fruit. And you'd think that it's like, oh, I'm just going to put tablespoons of sugar on my ice cream. Yay. I'm going to butter my cheese. Yay. You know that it's wrong, but it's really good. I mean, it's really, really good.
It's lovely. And also honey on like Chev cheese with berries. Yipes. So good. And right now, I mean, we're lucky. We have creameries in our world and there is some hellaciously delicious Chev cheese happening. That's just, you know, it's heavenly. It's heavenly. And I, you know, there are tons of fabulous flavors of it where herbs or berries or whatever have been added to it. And they're all lovely, but just plain fresh Chev cheese drizzled with honey and some good bread. And a bottle of wine, I'm happy.
Yeah, no wonder. Well, you asked me about picnic food. This is something that maybe doesn't occur in nature. No, that's not true. Well, sort of. But when I had those boys over, and that was just Friday, so that was not that long ago, I made, because I just got a couple days notice and, you know, I was freaking out because I wasn't drinking coffee. And so I was pretty much just looking for volume, you know, so because I only have three refrigerators and they were all coming. So I made a Jell-O dish that I like. It's a recipe from my friend Georgia Schrode, and it's Jell-O and then a creamy topping. But what you do is you take a 6 ounce, a big package of raspberry gelatin, and then you mix in 2 cups of boiling water, a cup and a half of applesauce once you get the gelatin dissolved, and then 20 ounces of berries, raspberries, blackberries, marionberries, anything like that, and they can be frozen or fresh, and then you let that in the fridge set up, and then you make this topping, and you have to make it the day before the whole thing. The topping is, again, maybe not occurring in nature, but 2 cups of sour cream and 2 cups of mini marshmallows, and you mix them together. I know it sounds so awful and church supper-y, but the marshmallows dissolve overnight, and then it's
they
this,
dissolve.
Yes, and nobody can come anywhere near close to guessing. They're all like, "What is this? It's so good! Is it cream cheese? Is it, you know, unicorn tears?" Nobody can figure out what it is, and it's really delicious. And a testament to that, even though it sounds weird and very church supper-y, is that Nancy, the boys' mothers, called me and said that they had made 2 batches the day before and they were fixing to eat them yesterday, Sunday. So, I mean, 2 big 9x13 pans, 1 for each, you know, but that was how much they liked them. And so I thought that that was really cool. But yeah, that's my friend George's recipe and it's a good one.
Hey, a refrigerated salad in the summer can't beat it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it.
Seriously? It is really good. I really like it. And the thing is, it's not too sweet.
Jell-O was one of my mother's favorite things in the whole wide world. Seriously, I'm not kidding. And so when I was growing up, a very fancy dessert at our house was Jell-O with creme anglaise drizzled over it.
Oh, my gosh.
So she actually made creme anglaise and then poured it over.
And like, I bet it was delicious.
I could eat a bowl of creme anglaise, so really you can't insult me by giving me creme anglaise, but it was just like,
Did I ever tell you the stupidest thing I ever did in my whole life? That's why I'm laughing. Did I? About the Jell-O?
I don't know.
I have a friend, Laura, and this is decades ago. So Laura was marrying a man from Sweden. So she was going home for Christmas, and we lived in Minneapolis. She was going home for Christmas to be with his family. And so they were things from America that they liked, Jell-O, Kool-Aid, stuff like that, that they don't have in Sweden. So she said, she called me and she said, "I'm running late because I'm the one that's going to bring her to the airport. I'm running late. Can you please go to the store and get me some Jell-O for Reinhold? She just loves it." And I'm like, "How much?" And she's like, "I don't know, maybe like $20 worth." And I'm like, "Okay, well, what kind?" She's like, "Well, they really like the black cherry. Get a bunch of that and a couple of everything else." So I get to the store and it's like something like like six for a, or five for $1.17 or some horrible price. And I'm just like, whatever. So I grab a handful of black cherry and a couple of everything else. And I get up to the register and it is $19.64. And I am thinking, I am a genius. I don't even have to do math. You know what I mean? I'm so smart, just intuitively. And I'm patting myself on the back. And so I go to the airport and I pull into short-term parking and I forgot Laura. I drove the Jell-O to the airport.
Tell me she didn't miss her flight.
No. She's one of those people who was like hours ahead of time. And this is before Homeland Security, you know. And so she'd planned for 2 hours. And that was at that time ridiculous, you know. And it was so. And we were in Minneapolis and the airport was in St. Paul. But I actually had to pay to get my car out of short-term parking to go back and get Laura. And the really ironic thing is the whole time I'm just patting myself on the back about how smart I am, you know. Oh, I can just intuit mathematics, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so stupid.
Because none of us have ever been stupid at all. So, you know, you
not drive the Jell-O to the airport, stupid.
Okay, you went on that one. Definitely. We're not even going to, nobody's going to challenge you on that one. So, we have like no time at all. Last minute things to say about summer food.
Wow, blank. Well, because I'm
berries,
in my stupid mode about Jell-O. No, I can't think. You have to talk.
I got to say berries. I ate some of the most perfect, I mean perfect, yeah. Marion berries the other day that were that point in a berry's life where tomorrow it'll be too late and today is the right moment.
Yeah.
It will give you reason to live. So if I can say eat anything, it would be berries. Plus, you don't have to cook them.
And I'll say what Marianne said. That's what I'll say because she's right.
And I will say thank you so much, Linda Perkins. Thank you,
Marianne.
Stay tuned. Coming your way, NPR News headlines, and then John Stevenson is in the house to bring you Lost Highways. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org on your mobile using the TuneIn app. Have a fabulous day.
Support for Food Talk comes in part from the Astoria Co-op Grocery, dedicated to building community through food, featuring local, natural, and organic groceries, produce, and deli. All shoppers welcome 7 days a week from 8 to 8 at 14th and Exchange in Astoria and astoria.coop.
We're looking at gradually becoming sunny this afternoon. It's a little cloudy right now in downtown Astoria, but hang in there. Looks like 75 degrees in our future.